Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here today. Very grateful to be in the house of the Lord. The Bible says, I was glad when they said, let's enter into the house of God. And it's good to be here today. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to share with you some scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart today. And keeping in mind that the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, writing to Christians who were struggling, had some issues, had some problems, and Paul was trying to sit through all this for them as they're trying to get their spiritual legs under them. And he writes these words, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, and following. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, for those that have made an effort to be here today. I pray that the effort would not be lost, God. I pray that there would be a purpose in what we're doing today, and that, Father, your will would be fulfilled as we spend time together, not only with brothers and sisters, but with you and with your word. Give us today what we stand in need of, Lord, and we'll be sure to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm sure that you notice, like I do, that getting people to agree on anything is becoming more and more difficult. It seems like we like the debate, we like the conflict, we like the drama. And it's not any different, really, among Christians. There's so many different Christian groups that we can't seem to agree on anything. But I do want to say this morning, I want to clear the air. I want to help you understand, and I want you to get it in your heart, that if you are a Christian, you have the anointing of the Spirit of God. In other words, if you have been saved, you have living inside you the Spirit of the living God. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God resides in the child of God, in the follower of Jesus Christ. If he does not, then you are not saved. If you are a born-again Christian, then you possess the anointing, but it's not until your life brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ that the anointing will get flipped on. Christ must openly be exalted in your life in order to give the anointing a chance to work through you. You see, nothing, folks, is done by God in a wasteful manner. And the anointing is given to the believer to enable us and empower us by the Spirit of the living God to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the world, not the flesh, not the forces of hell. So what we do is we take the written Word of God at the front end of our lives, we respond to that Word, and then we see what great thing the anointing can bring about through us. Now, when you were born of the flesh, you inherited from your parents your skin color, your hair color perhaps, your eye color, your racial identity, many other physical traits that you inherited from your mother and your father. Besides the characteristics that make up our DNA, we also inherited something called a sin nature. The sin nature is prone to rebel against the standard of Almighty God, and it is built into each and every one of us. It is passed down through our human nature. And it's transferred from there into our damaged soul, right? And through our damaged soul, we get impulses to our body, and our body demonstrates or reveals our life through our actions. The actions of your body reveal what's in your soul. Your soul is damaged by the virus of the indwelling sin. The obvious question that we're faced with is, how do we address the sin virus that we all have? How do we deal with it? Well, it's been my observation that most of us try to manage the symptoms. We try to manage the symptoms of the sin virus. A lot of us just try to hide it. We try to keep it out of sight. But try as we might, this virus keeps showing up. It shows up in the anger that we cannot control. It shows up in the language that we should not use and should not speak. It shows up in our addictions. It shows up in our attitudes. It shows up in our negative emotions, where they take over and rule our lives. And you may think that you're okay, but your soul is damaged, because in verse 18, the Bible says, but we all, God wants to take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. And He does that through the anointing of the Spirit of God. Now, I know this can be a little hard to grasp, so bear with me. But Paul said that when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the veil is taken away. We know what a veil is, right? I don't think they're as popular today as they used to be, but we still see them sometimes in very traditional weddings, or maybe some of the world's religious groups, the women will wear veils, you know. So we know what they are. But Paul is speaking of, he's talking about the Old Testament. Moses went up on a mountain and he met God. When he came down from the mountain, the Bible says he had a glow. His face actually glowed. Well, over time, that glow began to fade. But Moses didn't want the people to see that glow fading, so he put a veil over his face. And this is what Paul is speaking of here. And he says that through Christ, the veil of pretense is taken away. And then he says, the Spirit, he says, the Lord Christ, and then he says, the Spirit is the Lord. Now, right now, we know that Jesus is not physically on this earth, because the Bible tells us that He spoke to His disciples after the resurrection, and then He ascended into heaven. So physically, He is not on this earth today. So what we're talking about here is Christ in us, the hope of glory, the anointing of the believer, if you are a Christian. Then he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty means to be released from anything that is holding you hostage. Anything that is illegitimately holding you back. And the answer to that is, the answer to the sin virus is spiritual transformation. Spiritual transformation. Those things that hold you back. Those things that keep you in their sway. Those things that keep you from being all that God would have you to be. Is a part of the sin nature, the sin virus that we're all infected with. And the only cure to that is a spiritual transformation. God's goal for us is not external reformation. God's goal for us is not infection management. God's goal for us is spiritual transformation. I had Brother Gary on my mind while I was putting this all together. You know, they killed his entire immune system and gave him a new one. Forgive the simplicity, but in essence, that's what they did. And in essence, that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to destroy, through the working of a spiritual transformation in your life, that old nature and give you a brand new nature. It's the answer. Now, the only way, folks, you need a spiritual transformation, I need a spiritual transformation, and the only way that you know that you are growing as a Christian is that your life is changing. Okay? If you're not changing, then you're not growing, even though you may be keeping all the rules. If you're not changing, you're not growing, even though you're doing all the things that you think you ought to be doing. Until there is a change, until there is spiritual growth, folks, nothing is going to happen because of the indwelling virus that is still in control. Again, when the Spirit of God is invited into your heart and in your life, invited into your human spirit, when you say yes to Jesus and you ask Him in, your human spirit is transformed and begins sending new data to your human soul. Are you tracking with me? Okay, your human soul, which is now being influenced by an amplified spirit, the Spirit of the living God, now sends data to your body, and as a result, your body then is demonstrating an inward change. Okay? All these things have to take place for you to become free. It must move from the inside out, not from the outside in. And Paul makes an important contrast in verse 14. He says, "But their minds were blinded, for until that day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ." Now, you have heard me say many times from this pulpit, as I quote the Apostle Paul, who says the Old Testament is our schoolmaster that brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things were written in the Old Testament for our understanding of the New Testament. And that's what Paul is saying here again. In Christ, the veil is lifted away. And now we have a clear line of sight. And we can prepare for spiritual transformation. Paul says, even when these people read the law of Moses, it did them no good. Why? Because they had a veil on. So, you can read the Bible, and it can do you no good. You can come and hear a sermon, and it'll do you no good. And the reason you can do these things and it not have any effect on your life is because many times we come with a veil that is blocking the Word from doing its work. But then in verse 18, Paul says this. He says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, you must approach your need for spiritual transformation with an unveiled face. I think we all know what a veil is, and Paul says, the reason these people were reading the Old Testament and not experiencing spiritual change is because they have something impeding their vision. But if you will come to the Lord with an unveiled face, what does that mean? It means a willingness to be fully exposed before God. To take away the pretense. Take away the pretending that we do so that we look good, you know. Revealing the hidden things that you don't want anybody to see. Stop playing the cover-up game that we've all been playing so many times. Then, and only then, can you experience the Spirit's power to change you. If you come and you're still playing the cover-up game with God, then there will be no change. It doesn't matter what else you do. You will remain the same. So, if you want to deal with the sin virus and experience some real spiritual transformation in your life, you have to come to Christ with an unveiled face, openly, honestly, and raw. Secondly, let's talk about the beholding. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 again. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, as being transformed into the same image," being transformed into the same image, "from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." There's our word again, isn't it? How many of you thought, oh boy, it's the third week in a row. The word beholding. You're going to get it before it's over. You'll have it down. What did we say the word behold means? It means to look intently at, to pay attention to not miss this, right? But here it is. He says, "We must behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." Okay, the mirror is the Word of God, right? It's one of the words, one of the phrases, words that's used to speak of the Bible. The Word of God. The mirror is the Word of God. So you must come to the Word of God with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, right? Now let me take you to another place in the Bible that talks about the mirror, and that's James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we read more about the mirror. In verse 19, it begins to read like this. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear what? Swift to hear God's opinion about the matter, right? Slow to speak. Slow to speak what? Slow to speak your opinion about the matter. And slow to wrath. Slow to wrath about what? Slow to wrath about the fact that your opinion don't square with God's opinion. Let God be true and every man a liar, right? For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately, dial it down a little bit, Angelo. I got to finish, right? Immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Amen. Again, just a little bit of review. If you want to deal with the sin virus and experience some type of change in your life, we must come to the Lord with an unveiled face. We must come to the Word of God, which is the mirror. But get this. Don't come like a man who looks at his face and then turns away. That's what James said. Now, the word for man here is not the word that we oftentimes see in Scripture that speaks of mankind. Right? A lot of times in the Bible we'll see that you know, man has sinned. And it's speaking of mankind, men and women. That's not the word used here. James is saying, don't come to the mirror like a man does. The word is translated male. Don't come to the mirror the way a man does. If you want to experience real change in your life, come to the mirror like a woman does. Anybody tracking with me? Okay. A man will come to the mirror, generally speaking, there's exceptions to every rule. I don't like what I see in the mirror, so I look away as fast as I can. But a man will come to the mirror, look, see, and then rush off to the next thing. Now, for a long time, hey folks, I lived in the sea of estrogen. I've been married for 35 plus years. I had two daughters. And I know what I'm talking about. A female will generally come to the mirror, look, see, and stay until she gets it right.
That's right.
Is that fair?
Amen.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Help me out, ladies,
yes,
a little bit.
Yes.
I mean, if it's true, it's true, right? If you know, you know. If you desire to experience real change in any area of your life, you must come with an unveiled face, looking into the Word of God, and hang out there until you see your own reflection. You see, we read the Bible for all kinds of reasons, don't we? We read the Bible because sometimes we want to gain Bible knowledge. We read the Bible because maybe we got a class to teach, or we're working kids' church, or whatever. We read the Bible because maybe we've been privileged to preach the Word of God. Many times we read because we've got a daily devotion to do. We want to get through it, you know, a chapter a day, keep the devil away. But we don't read the Bible many times to see ourselves. James says, abide in the Word until you see that God is talking to you. Not Abraham, not David, not Solomon, not Saul. Stay there until you hear God speaking to you. Now let me share something with you that you already know. There are filters in your camera, your Snapchat, other things. There is Photoshop, you know. But the mirror tells the truth. Amen? The mirror tells the truth. And the Word of God, when intently looked at, when you intently look into the Word of God with an unveiled face, it will reveal the infection of your soul. How many of you know what I'm saying? Now, the Word of God, whether read or whether taught or whether preached, can speak to your heart personally when you have those things in place. And when that intent look into the mirror has exposed something, now you've got a decision to make. You've got to decide what you're going to do about it, because James says, if you see it and take no action, then it's not going to benefit you. What good is it to see that you have dirt on your face if you don't pick up a bar of soap and wash it off? I've came to church before, you know. I'm sure you're all familiar with this, because sometimes you'll nick yourself shaving. How many of you know what it is to stick a piece of toilet tissue on your head? You know? I've come to church with those things stuck on my neck because I didn't look in the mirror. Had I looked in the mirror, I'd have taken them off. But what James is saying is, how ridiculous is it for you to look in the mirror, see that you got a problem, and then go, oh well. But that's what we do. When you see the Word of God, you come with an unveiled face, you look into the mirror, you see that God, the Word is speaking to you, you agree with God, you take action, then you'll see positive change. Verse 18 again, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Positive change is proof of spiritual growth, and spiritual growth means you are being changed into the image of Christ. That's what it means. But there's something you need to know before you take this too seriously here this morning. If you take what I am presenting to you from the Word of God seriously today, and it leads you to positive change, then your flesh is going to throw a fit. And you need to know that. Your flesh, in other words, your unrenewed, unredeemed humanity, does not want to see the new management that you have invited in coming in and making changes. And so you're going to have a fight on your hands. And I can hear people saying it now. Pastor, are you trying to tell me that I'm not saved if I don't act a certain way? No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. Paul did not say that. And James did not say that. Paul and James were both writing to Christians. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and James was writing to believers everywhere. Now, this isn't about salvation. This is about something I read earlier from Scripture. It is about moving from glory to glory. When you gave your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, when you realized that you were lost and undone, that you were a sinner that needed a Savior, and you asked Jesus in, glory to God, He saved you, right? But the beauty of this is He doesn't leave you there. God's intention for us is to move us from glory to glory. That's what this is all about. Moving us from glory to glory. God wants to take you from one spiritual level to the next. And you always know when God is doing this, when He puts you in a test. And you really know you're growing as a Christian when you recognize in that test that God wants to take me a little higher. That's when you really know you're growing, when you start to almost get excited about the test. I said almost. You know you're growing as a Christian when you can recognize, hey, I don't like this. You know, and most of the time we try to avoid tests, don't we? We try to run. We try to get out. In fact, our prayers reflect that. God, get me out of this. I don't want to be a part of this. I want you to save me from this. Relieve me from this. And sometimes God does. But here's the thing about God that you need to know. He likes re-giving the test. He'll give you the test until you pass it.
And it's good for you as a believer to recognize that when you're in that test, hey, God is doing something in my life. He wants to change me. He wants to bring me from glory to glory. He wants to bring me from this level up to this next level in the spiritual dimensions of my life. And what a blessing it is to grow as a Christian. Growth is so important. So you stay patient in the test so God can take you to the next level. When a woman is going to have a baby, a lot of things begin to change. She gets the baby bump, you know. Her appetite will change. They'll experience shifts in the moods. All these changes, physical changes. Do you know why? All those changes take place because there's life growing inside and showing up on the outside. When you came to Jesus Christ, there was a conception of love in your human spirit by the Holy Spirit. When you asked Him in, He took up residence in your life. And where there is life, there's growth. And where there's growth, there's change. Are you a growing Christian? Is your life transforming? Are things happening in your life? Maybe you could say, you know, there's things that I just wish I didn't have to endure right now. But if you were carefully looking into the mirror, carefully and prayerfully studying the situation, you would recognize that God is at work in your life. And the best response for you would be patience. And maybe a level of excitement where you might even say, Lord, I don't know what the reason for this is, but I'm excited because I know You are a good God and You have my best interests at heart. What I'm trying to tell you, folks, is that God loves you and He wants to make you more like Himself. And when you look in the Word of God and you see yourself and you make those changes and you do it with an unveiled face and you're raw and open, there will come a time when you look in the mirror of the Word of God and you no longer see your face, but you have been so transformed that you see the glory of Christ. There is a cure for the sin virus. It's already been provided. It is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is the antidote. It is the cure. And there's no other way to be right with God except through the finished work at Calvary, the blood of Jesus, which cleanses all sin. What I'm talking about is not salvation. I'm talking about this untransformed part of us that will stay broken and stay diseased until God transforms us and brings us home. We're always going to fight the flesh. We're always going to keep bouncing off our sin nature. But when you put these things in place in your life, those battles will be fewer and further between. And everything that I said is of no use unless you are a believer. If you are a believer, if you've come to Christ, you have the indwelling Spirit of God to empower you to do these things. He's given you everything you need in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, we're going to give you an invitation to do that, to invite him in to confess and believe. If you're here today and you're a child of God, and something that God has said to you today through this mirror has touched your heart or opened your mind or revealed some things to you, maybe pulled the veil back a little, and he has prompted you to take some action, My best advice to you is to don't wait. Do it immediately. Come to this altar. Get it right with God. You know, settle it once and for all. Go up to that next level. And then trust God for when the next time comes. He's got a lot of work to do. Amen? Are you open enough to say, I recognize, God, that I'm a work in progress? Me too. Would you stand? I'd like to pray for you. And if you're here today and you have prayer with me, this altar is open. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, God, for giving us what we need, Lord. You never have left us as helpless orphans. And Father, today we're grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, that it is alive, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces, and it is like a mirror that shows us, dear God, those things that you want to take away and those things that you want to add. Father, give us today a clear line of sight. Father, remove the veil. No, Lord, more accurately, I guess, I pray that you give us the spiritual strength and fortitude to lift the veil away so that we can see you clearly. Father, you've always been there. You've always been trying to touch us and impact us. But Father, we not only put veils in the way, we have many, many things, God, that block our vision. And today, God, I just simply ask that maybe you touch someone's life, or maybe many, that this effort today has not been in vain, but that you would bless it, and that we would see some fruit harvested for your kingdom and for your glory. We ask it all in your beautiful name, the name of Jesus. Amen.